buckle up, Buttercup. Live from Gloucester, Massachusetts. Podcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to the Gloucestercast Podcast, a production of Joey Shimataro and Good Morning Gloucester Media. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the show with your host, Joey Shimataro, and his crew of merry castaways. No piping plovers will be intentionally harmed in the production of this podcast.
We're back. We're here. We made it.
Are we live?
We're live, baby.
Woo!
Cleaning up, fellas.
With the...
We have
the Legends of Gloucester Hockey...
Where? And,
we've been told by several people that we've used the term legends loosely, but we're joined by Barry Clifford up in the top right. Next to him, Jerry Olson. I mean Jimmy Douglas. Gapper Frontero, bottom left. Steve McDonald and Ray D'Amico. Hey, guys, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for the invite, Joey. Thanks, Joe. Good job.
I'll tell you, this is our 465th podcast, and I'm not sure if there's been one that's been more anticipated that I've got more feedback ahead of time on than this particular one. I think it struck a chord, the subject matter, and a little background. I think it was last Friday or Saturday. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I shot up out of bed, and my wife kind of was like, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" I said, "I got this thing about Gloucester hockey back in the late 70s, early 80s, and it just kind of snowballed. I was trying to think if there had been anything in Gloucester sports history that came anywhere close to the electricity, the excitement of that, of Talbot Rink in that era. I'm going to let you guys talk. I don't really want to talk too much, but I just wanted to set it up. And then I got a hold of Jimmy helped me out a lot. Barry helped me out a lot. Gappa with the photos. And just talking to people, I said I wanted guys that had stories to tell, and all your names kept coming up over and over again from all the different people I spoke with. So I'm really honored to have you guys with us tonight.
Good character reference, and I mean character.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Joe, we should probably set the record straight on this legend thing before we go any further. All right.
I agree.
So, legendary status can be obtained in numerous ways, and some of us have obtained it maybe off the ice or in the locker room. All right, Stevie McDonald, he's in that legend talk. The rest of us, we're along for the ride and maybe earned our accolades otherwise. So let's just be clear about that.
I'm lucky, all right. Just like you guys.
I'd agree, Barry. Most of our legendary stuff was done off the ice. today,
as customary, what we normally do on the podcast is especially the nighttime ones, we everybody tells what they're drinking. I happen to be drinking Ryan and Wood. There we go. Malt whiskey. That's my drink of preference. What are you guys drinking tonight?
I'm about to switch up from the Tito's Joe, and I'm going to head on over to the Slane.
There you go. Gappa?
I got the body armor. I'm sober, so.
Jimmy, we didn't ask you. What are you drinking?
I'm going from the Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee over to the Tito's here.
There you go.
Stevie and Ray?
Knob Creek.
We got a little Knob Creek here with a bear shooter.
Nice. Very nice. I want to hear from the people out in the studio audience over here. What you guys are drinking? Type it in. We'd like to hear what you guys are drinking as well. Well, you know, now that we have the whole Legends thing out of the way, Barry, I wanted you guys and Barry and Jimmy, I want you guys to pay homage to some of the actual real greats of Gloucester hockey. Could you guys speak to that?
Sure, Joe. I can start off. You know, the first name that comes to mind, and there's a relation between all of us, is our head hockey coach, Don Riley. Simply, you know, one of the greatest. And, you know, beyond that, Dwight Montgomery, who I played with, fortunate enough to play with in 78 and 79. Of course, you know, my brother Stevie Douglas, one of the best players ever to play GHS. And I was talking to Eddie Currier too, and he wanted me to bring up some of the older guys from the 60s. And he threw out a couple of names besides Donnie Riley was John Burnett, who was a goalie at the time. I guess he was a phenomenal goalie. Geno Barrett, Eddie mentioned, along with Tommy Babson, who went on to play, I think Eddie said, at BC. And one other former coach Eddie brought up was Dana Knowlton.
There you go.
I think we'd be remiss not to mention Punky Smith, obviously, right? So you ask any hockey person, you know, to name their top five greatest of all time, and unanimously you're going to hear Donnie Riley's name, Punky Smith's name, and Stevie Douglas's name. And then from there you can start getting into the debates about who fills out the top five, top 10, but certainly Mo, right up there, you know, Matty Maniz, etc. So
we hear names like Alan Feener. We hear names like Mario Orlando, Daryl Sepola.
Yeah, absolutely.
Derek Gary.
Yeah. Well, you got, let it rip right now, guys, because I want to give props to these guys. You know better than me.
Paul Maniz. Yeah. I mean, the state championship yeah. teams state, back in the what, 90s, early 90s.
Tommy Sala.
Tommy Sala.
You know, 93 had a lot of good players, too. I think that was the state championship team, I believe.
Right.
Going back to Jimmy's years, Aaron Trefry, obviously, tremendous hockey player, right? Yeah. You know, and then those teams from the mid-90s, they had some fantastic players and scorers, you know, Mario Orlando, Daryl Sepola, you know, Mike Interanti between the pipes.
Interanti was
a great goalie. Absolutely.
Tremendous talents.
Yep. There you go. Well, I just wanted to make sure that we didn't think that Nick Novello, we don't want to leave, you know, we wanted to be inclusive here, but I just wanted to get that out of the way. And if I had the technology, I would have put 20 guys on, but we really, it would have made a mess out of this whole podcast. So we wanted to keep it tight. So we also wanted to pay homage to some guys that have passed. Assistant coach Paul Riley, Mo Montgomery, and Alan Feener, to be precise.
Yeah.
All Gloucester hockey greats.
Let's have a toast to those guys.
Yeah. Cool. Raise them up. Raise them up.
It's to you, boys.
You know, and unfortunately, Joe, two of those guys were in very recent memory. And then Alan was just a few short years ago. And, you know, those of us on this podcast played with all of them, whether it was in high school or after high school in the adult leagues. And, you know, they were true friends. So Paul coached all of us.
Yeah.
You know, here's to him.
Yep,
absolutely. Paul's a great man. He's great, a great guy, great mentor growing up. And him and Donnie together were just phenomenal for us as coaches.
Yeah.
Mogi and Spice were just huge. I mean, I named my dogs after them. It's wild, you know?
Did you really?
I did.
I didn't know that.
And Spice, you got hit by a car, and Elon put it on Facebook, and they called Brett down the store. I said, Jesus, Spice got hit by a car. Is he all right? I told Spice I named my dog after him. I'm pretty sure he cried. Kappa, what are you on, drugs? I'm like, no. I said, this is from Moog after your brother and Spice got hit and blah, blah, blah. I think he cried for a second. He might have thought he was out in the boat. I don't know.
Yeah.
I love those guys.
Mo was the best defenseman I've ever seen. I loved to go watch him. That's who I idled growing up, going to all the games, and couldn't wait to get to high school after watching him and all you guys play in the late 70s. You know, it got the juices flowing. But Mo was unbelievable.
I think you took his number too, right? You wore the same jersey.
Yep.
He was just so smooth skating, Stevie. It was just unbelievable. Yeah. Like I said, it is. His service there on the boat, it was like poetry in motion. Watch him okay.
Didn't know how fast he was going until he went by you.
Yep.
My father-in-law, Buzzer Foley, who played for Salem State, he said the hottest hit I ever took at high school and collegiate level was from Donnie Lowe during the state tournament at the Boston Arena, 1968. I was on Queer Street for a week.
Yeah, but he didn't miss any games, so he played all the games.
You know, I don't think any of us ever saw Donnie Lowe play or coached with him or by him. But in the last week or so, I've heard his name repeatedly come up about how great of a player he was. So, you know, a little tip of the hat and homage to Donnie Lowe as well.
Yeah.
Just a side note there, Joe, both he and Donnie Riley played together at UMass after they left Lowe. So.
Oh, wow.
But you know how Donnie could manhandle it with one hand. He just, even in practice, you know, he'd take me and Ray or whoever it was and just throw us aside with one hand. Only a few guys can do that. Douglas can do it. Stevie Douglas.
Yeah.
Turn your head around, you know, with one hand and score with the other. But, you know, him and Riles just the difference, you know. It just manhandled everybody.
Yeah.
It's funny you say it, Gapper. I was thinking about that the other day and playing in the Industrial League, the Adult League. Donnie Riley, Steve Douglas, and Mo Montgomery all came to mind.
Yep.
If they had the puck and they didn't want you to have it, you didn't stand a chance.
If you had it, just give up. If you had it and they wanted it, they got it.
There's no chance.
you guys also, when we were talking during the week leading up to this, you also said that it was incredible that you had Donnie Riley as a coach that was a better skater than all of you guys on the ice at any given time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah.
And in the best shape of all of us as well.
Yeah. You know. Yep. He could shoot righty or lefty, didn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was unbelievable.
He's still in better shape than all of us. Yeah. That's maybe Stevie.
Yeah.
how old was Donnie when we were playing? Anyone know?
What's that?
How old was he?
Donnie, when he was coach.
That was 40. So how long?
26, I think. 25 or 26 when he was coach.
I was going to say, he had to be about 26, 27, 28.
It's a young kid.
Yeah. Wow. He was young.
Hey, so talking about Donnie Riley and Paul Riley as coaches, I've got this vivid memory, and they worked us like dogs in a good way, right? But I have believed every day of my life since we left high school that we were one of the best conditioned teams in the conference and in the state. And I think it earned us some victories that otherwise might have been up for grabs. But my memory is doing sprints at the end of practice, and Paul Riley just had this shitty grin. His eyes were like shut, laughing his balls off, blowing his whistle, telling us to do it again. You know,
and blue line back, red line back,
boards to boards.
Yeah, they remember the practice with no pucks.
They took great joy in skating us, but we all got into it. We all bought into the program.
Yeah.
Do you think he got that from the movie Miracle? When remember that great scene? Kurt Russell
again.
I think Herb Brooks learned that from Paul Riley.
Yeah, probably.
Speaking of the devil, look who we got here.
Hey!
Little surprise for you guys.
All right. Well,
I thought this was Gloucester Legends. Who are these guys I see here? What is this? Some kind of joke?
Hey, wow.
Lunch Pail Legends.
Loosely used
the ice.
Oh, well, it's great to have you. The legendary Don Riley just joined us. This is a little surprise for everybody. Thanks for joining us, Donnie.
Yeah, well, thanks for giving me the invite there, Joe. I'd love to hear what these guys have to say all the time.
Well, I'll tell you, like, if the studio audience had to hear what we had to say before we pressed the go live button, we'd probably be pulled off the air.
Donnie's heard all that shit live. He's heard it firsthand.
Anyway, so Donnie, can you give a little background on your hockey career? Where did you what level did you get to?
Well, I started on Dave's Pond on double runners.
That's where I started. Dave's Pond.
Yep.
And then I tried to progress from there, but my career, you know, it was fun. I had a lot of fun playing hockey. Played at a pretty high level. Good team at UMass, Division II champs, and everything. That was fantastic. Got a cup of coffee with the team,
Seals,
California right? Golden Seals. That did not long. Yeah. But hockey's been good to me. Still trying to lace them up every once in a while.
what were some of your favorite teams, Donnie?
Every team I had was special. And you know, great bunch of guys, long-lasting friends, lifelong friends I've made, and they're all special, Joe.
Okay, all right. That's the diplomatic. That's the diplomatic answer.
So some of us are a little more special than others.
Who's that upside down there? I can't even see him.
That would be Gapa Frontero.
Am I hanging on?
You are.
I don't know how to make these things work.
Donnie, yeah. Would you agree with me that the years between 78 and 83, when Talbot Arena was just overstuffed to the gills, would you agree that those were kind of special years as far as the popularity of hockey in Gloucester?
Oh, they were definitely special years for me. I know that. Yeah. When you got that place filled to capacity and people standing around down the corners of the rink and stuff, and you got Winthrop coming to town, and you're playing on just before Christmas or just before New Year's on the weekend, and the place is rocking, and they're throwing golf balls at you, and it was an exciting place to be, and it was tough to get in. They'd be capacity. At the rink. And I try to tell these kids now that, you know, skating, that they don't know what they have here with having this rink. I mean, the amount of ice time that they get and all of that, it's just fantastic. We didn't get quite as much as they get now, but we got enough, I would say. Matter of fact, I think a few of the boys will remember the practice I had on Christmas morning.
Who wants to take that one?
Johnny, was that the one with no pucks?
No, I think we had to work on the power play to go. It was optional, though.
But we were all there, though.
That's right.
We wouldn't miss that.
Oh, boy.
Which team went further, the 78 team or the 83 team?
83 was in the state, so did 78 make the states?
No,
83 went further.
We went further.
Yeah. Yeah, well, 83 had a terrific record, but we were one and done in the states.
Yeah, lost to Watertown.
At Merrimack.
Yeah.
Still fries my ass.
We got stonewalled by is it Sean Real, I believe?
Yeah. Kid that went to BC, the goalie. Yeah.
There was a couple goalies that I remember. Jay Staples.
Oh yeah, Saugus.
Yeah,
Little
Attitude.
He was a good goalie.
Yeah.
But Donnie, a question I had for you was, if the people that are watching this right now, if they remember, so I'll just give as a fan's perspective, like this is the hottest ticket in town. You got, if you got in, you're lucky. And the chance, the building felt like it was alive. The stomping on the wooden stands and the all the different chants that they had. How did you get these guys to focus on hockey with the mayhem, like the throwing fish on the ice, golf balls, batteries, tennis balls? How did you guys get these? How did you get these guys focused on playing hockey?
It was a chore, I would say, but I think they bought into it right away, and you know, I give them a lot of credit for them keeping their heads on straight. We had a couple guys that might get out of line every once in a while, but we had a pretty good group. You know, we'd always come over. They'd come over to my house there after school.
Oh yeah,
for a game, yep. And we'd have the tea and honey and English muffins with peanut butter, and then we'd do our hypnosis and relaxation and visualization.
Visualization. Yeah. Yep.
And it all works. You know, it all works. That's part of the game, I guess. Now.
Yeah. You know, but it's not to interrupt, but speaking for the 83 team, we had a crew that just bought into the program. Right. It was a good collection of guys. But we had three really strong leaders, captains. And Stevie Mack was one, and Phil Gigoloni was one, and Brandy Fennessy was the other one. And they corralled us. They were true leaders, and they made us buy into the program and kept us focused. So, you know, I want to really acknowledge the three of them, because I think they fostered an environment where, you know, we didn't get sidetracked. We bought into the program, and we were ready to go come game time.
I'll tell you something, like that's why, you know, I really wanted to make this happen, was because I can't even imagine the way they packed that arena. I don't think they could ever pack that arena the way they packed it back then. I don't think they would allow it. What was it like for you guys as players? I mean, I like a two-part question. I'm going to go around. I want everybody to answer this. What was it like for you guys as players? And what were for you personally, what were your biggest rivalries? Which towns did you absolutely hate?
Joe. Depending on what year it was.
Yeah.
First of all, time out. Hate is the wrong word. So many that get blown out of proportion, and I can't stand it. I'm still coaching now, and we play Danvers in field hockey, and they hate us, and we hate, and that's baloney. You don't hate these kids. You go to school with them later on in college and stuff, and you can become best friends and stuff.
Yeah.
That word hate, I mean, there's a rivalry, yes, you hate to lose to them, but you know, to say you hate an opponent, I don't agree with that at all.
Okay. All right.
That's my point of view. And the way I was brought up, and, you know, hey, you play somebody, you play hard, the game's over. That's what
You shake their hands.
Joey, that's why he's one of the greatest, because he's still teaching us life lessons today, right there.
Well, I mean, I can see how he can say that as a coach, but I felt like there was an intense rivalry. Okay, okay if we rephrase it into, like, who were the biggest rivalries?
I think
Danvers. Danvers, Winthrop, yep. Saugus, Marblehead.
Yeah.
Those are big rivalries.
I hated Marblehead. Bobo Roll and the coach, we used to have some battles. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, Stevie, didn't you go play with somebody from Marblehead in college?
Yeah, Joe Lunny.
Yeah, right. We became friends, And you didn't see him in college or anything, but
Maddie played with him at Holy Cross and played against him a couple times. And him and Maddie became best friends.
Exactly.
Yep.
Raj, you might remember Ray Damaris from Lynn Classical, Lynn's all-time leading scorer.
Yeah.
He played with me at New England, and I got him in my phone contacts. You know, we're best friends. We golf in the summertime together. It's like you say, it's endless.
Right.
That's great.
Can we talk about the fact that Jimmy Douglas played at the collegiate level?
Oh, my God.
He didn't play in high school. How does that happen?
Hey, I got a feeling there might be a college story we're going to hear at some point tonight, too.
I think everybody's heard that. We don't need to hear that again. I was telling these guys the other night that when I went to Bridgewater for the year, and I made that team, I actually called Donnie Riley before I called my father to tell him I made the team.
That's awesome.
Jimmy, what did Donnie say? You're kidding me.
He said, who's this?
All right. I want to hear some stories. So give me some stories about Lynn Arena. Who wants to tell a story about going to play at Lynn Arena?
Awesome, Lynn Arena.
Remember the game we played them in the playoff? Were you guys there for the playoffs?
Davis?
He scored the goal, and they said it was no goal. With it in and out so fast, it hit the bar.
Yeah.
Yep. We still beat him, though.
Pete Hickey, we put him on – Donnie, remember putting him on the power play in front of the net? He's like 6'2", 230 in high school. Nobody could move him out.
Yeah, just stand right there.
Just stand right there. If you get a shot on that, he was going to bang the rebound.
You remember the play we set up with him? We gave it to him behind the net. He did the no-look pass out front to Maddie, and he hit the full net to put it in.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
That place was awesome, the old barn.
That place was
awesome.
Remember the fans were throwing batteries and golf balls and whatever else on the ice.
Wire around the boards.
It used to be insane.
Who was
that? That was there too. That a lot of high schools around the whole area played there.
Oh yeah, both.
On a Saturday, you'd have seven or eight games one after another.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could go there at noontime and watch hockey right till 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That is awesome. But someone was telling me a story. I forget. I don't know if it was Mr. Gigoloni, but they was telling me
he tells a lot of stories.
But he was telling me a story. There was an away game, and I'm not sure if it was Winthrop or and you guys. It was a heated rivalry game. Came out. It might have been Gappa, and all the windows in the bus was smashed out.
That wasn't one of our years. No.
Yeah, sounds like one of his stories.
No, I don't
remember. All right.
No, that's before our time. We didn't have that.
No.
Remember back then you had to get 26 points to qualify?
Oh yeah.
For the tournament it was
75% of your games.
Yeah.
We were 11-4-2 one year. We didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, that
believe it. That was 78.
Yeah.
And then 81 too, when we I think we missed it by a couple of points there. We won the conference championship. We beat Winthrop and Davis, but we only ended up with 24 points and
those games didn't count.
Yep.
Yeah, imagine that.
And we were
the games of the year.
We would have done some damage, I think. We would have had a good chance, you know. Yeah.
What was it like playing, like when that industrial league is absolutely legendary? How, like, it must have been pretty wild to play with, be in high school and play with guys that were 20 years older than you. That it was just such a legendary league. Do they play anymore?
I think they do, but I'm not sure how many teams they have.
Yeah, it's different now, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So I gave you guys an assignment. I don't know how many of you read it, but I wanted to talk about who had the biggest shot, number one, who was the sniper, and who was the toughest, and who was the best goalie. And
biggest shot I ever played was I probably Peter Hickey.
Pete Hickey's shot, no doubt about it.
Pete Hickey's shot from the point was probably the Yeah. Nastiest blast.
Remember our game against Marblehead when we were down 5-3 up in our rink? 70, I think it was my senior year, 70. No, it might have been 78. And we were down 5-3. Aaron DeFry wins the faceoff back to Peter, and he let that shot go. The puck went in and out of the net before anybody moved in the faceoff. We came back and ended up winning the game 7-5.
Yeah.
It was a huge game. And like I said, I think that puck would end up in the Mill River if it didn't go in the net. That's how hard he shot the friggin' puck.
Thank God he didn't shoot like you, Douglas. You'd have broke the glass every year.
Would have hit the glass, not in the net.
What? I'd say Mo, Hick and Mo, too. Mo had a great shot.
He did.
Yeah. Not as hard as Hick, but he could place it anywhere he wanted to.
Right. Exactly.
A lot of people say that Matty Maniz was the – I mean
– He was a sniper.
Was the sniper.
Yep. Pure goal scorer. Goal scorer.
I think I was talking way
about
this.
There's a lot of good snipers, yeah.
But our sophomore year when I think Matty broke the school record with 26 goals that year. And at the time, I mean, I'm biased, but I thought that was like one of the greatest goal scoring years I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, he was tremendous. Tremendous.
And how – and I still can't believe how he did it.
How's that, Donnie? Explain that.
First time he come out, I don't know if it was his sophomore year or what, you couldn't tell whether the stick was carrying him or he was carrying the stick. honest to God. But he'd get the puck in the zone, and the next thing you know, he'd snap it off and it'd be in the net. And I'm saying, Jesus, I got to play this kid, but I'm like I was scared to put him out on the ice. I thought he'd get broken too. What a competitor, I'll tell you. He could put it in the net, and he got better and better and better, and his confidence level and the whole nine yards, he was just fantastic.
You know, I saw an article in the paper the other day, last week, because Matty's assistant coach of the high school team now, and they got a quote from him, and he's coaching his players now, shoot to score. Which seems like an obvious concept, right? But a lot of guys are just going to shoot and put the puck on net. Matty says, you know, when you shoot, shoot to score. And it's a mental thing. And I think he must have had that just a natural instinct from when he was a youngster. And damn, the guy could score.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
Yeah.
Who were some of the best goalies?
All the levels he played at, he scored goals.
Yeah.
Remember that one in Danvers? He scored 2 goals in 7 seconds.
Yeah.
Down 4-3.
I think he did in Beverly.
Like a minute left, right? Was it a minute left, Riles? Something like that.
Yep. Scored the tying goal. Then he went to the goalie right in his face, and he said, we're going to get another one, too. About 10 seconds later, he got another one.
That's a true story, Donnie. Matty and I were living together, and he was telling me the story. He said he scored, and he looked at the goalie. He says, and I'm not done either.
That's like Big Poppy calling a shot right there. That's
incredible. Oh, yeah.
That's incredible. Okay, let's talk goalies. Some of the best goalies, Gloucester goals.
Who, the answer?
I think Mike Interanti
was good. Interanti was very good.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely. He was great.
Where does Eddie Currier fall on that list?
Who?
Eddie Currier.
Eddie was a backup goalie when I played. You're going way back.
I love Eddie. Eddie used to pick up our fish for J&P Trucking. Just a great guy. Just a great guy.
Joey, we had some good goalies in our day. You know, and I remember John LaFarta made the All Star team one year, and Nick Shalino may have also. But,
I think he did.
But later on in the 90s, Mike Interanti, I think, maybe set a new standard.
Yeah.
You know what I'd like to ask you guys?
Wait a minute. We had more goalies. Did Mark Byard?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, as long as he didn't shoot from the red line, he was good. Shot from the red line, he didn't know it was coming. Yeah.
Peter Sutera.
He did contact. One of the best athletes in Gloucester High School.
at the time and played goalie was Tommy Conrad.
Oh, yeah. 78, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yep. Yep,
Tommy Conrad. Eddie Currier said John Burnett from 1966.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh, there you go.
Wasn't born yet.
Did they wear goalie masks back then?
Yeah, he had the face, the one that was molded to your face.
Really?
Yeah.
Jerry Cheever. Huh?
Wow. Yep. Piece of hard plastic.
So I had another question, and the question was, who are some of the big-time Gloucester hockey people that were involved, but not necessarily players? Maybe middle school coaches, announcers, bus drivers, rink managers, like, but were always around Gloucester hockey, loved Gloucester hockey, but like weren't players.
Well, you had to go with Chuck for driving the bus.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He was fantastic.
Chuck Madruga.
Yep.
Doc Enos was at every game.
Yep. Oh, yeah, he was
always right next up.
Our middle school coach, Steve Novak. Novak was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Great guy. Great coach.
Tennis ball in the morning. Go for the tennis ball. That was awesome.
Hey, Donnie, remember Tuk Madruga? We couldn't leave for a game unless we had the Doors 13 tape for the bus.
Yeah.
I think we actually turned around in Beverly one time and went back to Gloucester to get the tape.
Oh, boy.
Silvera's stats.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, Nick, yeah.
Nick is on it. Brian Silvera.
Silvera, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kyle Curley says.
Paul Landry. Remember Paul Landry used to run the rink?
Paul Landry. How about what he did for you guys for the locker room? Remember, that's the first time we had our own locker room that had Cubby names on them.
Yep. We had carpet, chairs, everything.
That was great. Awesome. We
had individual, like, director-style chairs.
Captain chairs.
We thought we were king shits. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Yep. We actually thought we were good.
It must have done wonders to your confidence.
Paul Landry, we used to go to him and ask for, in high school, I remember ice time, can we go skate for an hour? It's wide open. He used to make us wash the boards or the glass. Yep. He's like, you guys go wash the glass for an hour and you can go skate for an hour. He was great.
Yep. Right. I mean, we were so fortunate to have that rink. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's funny because our season didn't start the day after Thanksgiving when tryouts started. It started, you know, a couple months before with captain's practice, you know. And the team started to mold then, right then. We didn't start molding after Thanksgiving. And we're so fortunate. And guys like Al Stewart ran the rink there for a while.
Exactly.
The rest of the rink crew, they did take good care of us.
Bobby Williams.
All those years. Yep, Scotty Williams, his dad, Bob. And, Donnie, I remember the blizzard of 78, okay, everything was shut down. I think you cross-country skied up the rink. You had the keys. He called everybody, said, guys, if you can get up here, we can skate all day. Next thing you know, the whole team's up there skating. It was great. We got there one way or another. I think Spicy and Mo, they skated there from Lansdowne. And that was a great time.
We agreed not to divulge certain stuff.
Well, they gave him the keys.
Yeah,
I should have mentioned that if we have a couple of games we're going to play here, some trivia. So if you share the podcast, Jimmy donated two prize packs, two tickets for Cape Ann Whale Watch, and one 4-pack of Cape Ann Whale Watch tickets.
Grab me one of these.
And we're going to do, at the end of the podcast, we're going to do a little trivia game. I also have a prize for anybody that shares the podcast right now on Facebook and types in shared. I have a Tom Brady puzzle is one prize. And I also have an unused dash cam. So if you share the podcast, you type in shared, you have a chance to win those two prizes. At the end of the thing, we have a couple of awesome Gloucester hockey trivia questions for you. Donnie, I had a question for you as far as How do you feel about the athletes today playing sports year round, like the, you know, with the club hockey and stuff like that? Is that a good thing?
I don't think so, but that's just my personal opinion. If you looked at, and I written down some things, and I think if you looked at all the teams and all the players that played on those teams, 95% of them were true athletes that played other sports. And that goes from the top player down to the bottom player. There might have been maybe a slight percentage of those kids that were pretty good that only played one sport. And to me, you know, you're missing out. You're playing that one sport. You play all the different sports in high school. You're bonding with friends that you're going to have such a much better experience in high school.
Isn't that the reason why we all played soccer our year there? Didn't we play soccer because we had to get in shape for hockey?
That's the only reason. We did not enjoy the game of soccer. We played it to get in shape for hockey.
I played goalie because I don't like to run at all. I don't like to run.
You still don't.
I played goalie and I ended up being an NEC All-Star one year, and it's just ridiculous. It was like by six of us, right? Russell played.
Yeah, Stevie played senior year. Me, Scotty Geary. Actually, Scotty Geary actually liked soccer.
He was good, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But, you know, he's a man in Squam.
Yeah. Lost a guy.
But yeah, my point of view is just play as many different things as you can. And you can look at some of the pro athletes. And they'll tell you the same thing. When they were young, they've played different sports. Mahomes, there, the QB there, he played basketball. Thought he was going to be a basketball player.
Right.
Baseball, you know, too. Yeah, baseball pitcher. Yeah,
baseball pitcher.
Baseball player.
You know, and there's so many different things you can get yourself involved in that are positive and going to help you.
I have a question about, so how do you guys feel about the way the Bruins handled Zdeno Chara? Are you sad that he left? Are you happy that he left? Do you think that they did it tastefully? Would you like to have him back on the Bruins? Who wants to chime in there?
Depends what his contract is. What did Washington give him?
800.
800,000?
Something ridiculously low.
Yeah.
I was okay with them letting him go. I love Chara. I think he was an unbelievable captain, leader. But I think they just wanted to go a little bit younger and get those guys more developed. And he's on the back end of his career. And
I think it was a good move for him.
I mean, once the playoffs start, you know, and the intensity picks up and the speed, he has a hard time handling that now a bit because of his, he's getting up there. He's lost a step or two. I mean, he's phenomenal. He's a Hall of Famer and everything, but I was okay with it.
Yeah, I was good with it. I think it was good for him because he wasn't going to – there was no room for him anymore on the Bruins.
I've never seen such a classy thing or such a – when he got his jaw, busted and they wired his jaw shut and he kept playing in the playoffs – That was about as savage a move as I've ever seen. That's why hockey guys are built different.
Joey, I totally agree, and I've got a very similar story that involves Jimmy. We're in the locker room before an Industrial League game, and he stubbed his toe on the bench. Yet he laced him up, and he went out there, and he played his usual game.
He powered through it.
Oh. Barry,
what was that usual game?
Yeah.
Blue line to blue line. He was always open at a blue line.
He gave me everything he had.
It didn't matter what blue line.
He was the only defenseman on the far blue line going, here, I'm open.
Of course you're open. The play's over here.
All right, I want you guys each to give your top Gloucester line – of and you out of all of the of all the seasons, who would you put on the top Gloucester line?
Oh God, that might be a question for Donnie.
Wow,
we're putting you on the spot, Coach.
Yeah. Well, you got to put Matt there. Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Matty's in the middle for yeah. sure.
Oh, you got to go with, I think, Daryl Sepala.
Yeah.
I go Maddie, Donnie, Ben Smith as one line, and then I go Daryl, Mario, and Paul Maniz as another line.
How about defenseman?
Coach, how about you?
I'm all done.
Donnie, you could be a politician.
Donnie's detaping.
Yeah.
You told me you were at the rink for 6 hours the other day.
I get a few hours every day.
Donnie, do you still surf?
A few times, yeah. I do get out there when I can.
Wow, that's amazing. Good for you. Is it the yoga? I mean, are you doing TB12 or are you doing...
Oh, I got something new.
Yeah?
I taught myself Tai Chi over the quarantine.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There
you
go. He's not drinking and eating subs like us.
Those carbs are the devil. Those carbohydrates are the devil. Let me see here. All right, so do you guys want to do the trivia? Let's do the trivia.
Trivia.
All right. So this is for this. The trivia is the first question is for two tickets on Cape Ann Whale Watch. All right, Jimmy, you asked the question.
All right. The O'Malley Rink opened up in 1974. Gloucester High School played their first games there. Who scored the first Gloucester High School goal in the O'Malley Rink?
And you, the people our viewers can comment right here. We're gonna give you okay. So that's the question. So who scored the first goal at Talbot Rink when it first opened? No, Julie, you're not. Julie Imbrunoni, you're not allowed to answer, Julie. okay. Jimmy, give the second one. And this is for four tickets for the Cape Ann Whale Watch.
All right. And the second question is, when they first established Gloucester High School Hockey, an artist scored the first goal for Gloucester High School Hockey way back when. I'm not sure of the date, but who scored the first goal for Gloucester High School and who scored the 1,000th goal for Gloucester High School?
Phil Francis said Tim Kaine for the first question. That I don't think that's correct, though.
No.
You said he's an artist?
Yep, an artist in Rockport. Scored the first goal in GHS history.
I should have Jeopardy. All right. We're going to give people a couple minutes to answer right there.
Hey, Joe, while we're waiting, I just want to see if there's any similarity here, because I watched a little bit of your podcast from this past Sunday, and the trivia prize question or the lottery prize was a roll of toilet paper. And so how does that stack up to Cape Ann Whale Watch tickets?
Oh, Cape Ann Whale Watch tickets way blows it out of the water, of course.
All right, Joe, we gotta correct the answer up on the screen.
Okay, well, you can announce it.
The first part of question two. Chris Nelson. Don Stone from Rockport was the scored the first goal. And Barry Souza just answered the correct answer on the first question. Jay Sala scored the first goal in O'Malley Rink.
All right, so okay. So, Jimmy, you got to keep track of these because you're going to be handing out the prizes there.
Yep, I see him right there.
Oh, trust me, he sees Nelly every day.
oh, Chris Nelson from the Elks. Okay.
We need the answer to the second part of that question now, Joe. Who scored the
best goal? Ask the second part again so people can try
and guess. Who scored the 1,000th goal, the 1,000th goal for Gloucester High School?
What year was it?
At O'Malley?
I'm not sure of the year.
There may be a trick to the question.
Actually, the year was 1974.
74.
The 1,000th goal in 74?
Okay, while we're waiting, I have one more thing that we always do for podcast virgins. And I didn't do it early. We usually do it at the beginning of the podcast. We haven't done it. So this is Jimmy, you may have done this, I'm not sure, but we have the death row sub and the death row meal. And the parameters are this. You have to assume that you're on death row and the warden comes up to you and says, this is your last meal. I'm going to get you a sub from any sub shop. It has to be at a real place though. What's the sub and where are you ordering it from? We're going to start with Barry Clifford.
Oh, jeepers, Joe. You could have given me a little heads up here.
You just had one, yeah?
Well, if I'm on death row, I'm definitely going to Cheesesteak Bomb, and I'm probably going I'm going a bomb from Virgilio's.
A bomb from Virgilio's. Wow, interesting. Okay, great. All right, Jimmy, what do you got?
Jimmy's eating a salad.
With blueberry vodka.
I think I'm going to go with the old trusty D'Estino's mushroom cheesesteak.
Mushroom cheesesteak. That's a very popular answer. Gappa, what do you got?
Oh, Pat's Kitchen Cabaret. whatever the special is, I like them fresh. Definitely going with the cheese stick. What, you ever had the pizza there? It's unbelievable. The hidden gems. Whatchamacallit show in the morning there. Eddie Andelman, you're going to have that on. Well, it's a hot spot. Tell I haven't left the house in 5 months. I'm going with a cheesesteak.
Cheesesteak from where?
Got to be from D'Estino's.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. True Gloucester guy right there. Stevie McDonald, what do you got?
I got to go with these guys, a cheesesteak from D'Estino's.
Wow. Okay. They're just racking them up. Ray.
Yeah, bomb steak from D'Estino's.
Oh, my goodness. It could be a sweet.
And that's all right.
What do you got, Tommy?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm D'Estino's all the way, and just a tuna sub.
Tuna sub from D'Estino's. Very
classic tuna.
That is a classic. All right. So the second part is death row meal is the second part. What restaurant and what meal are you ordering? Barry, you're up.
What? Death row, what restaurant, what meal? Oh, boy, Joey.
It doesn't have to be Gloucester. It can be anywhere. But it has to be a restaurant.
Well, you know, I've had this hankering for about 15 years to get seafood fried Diablo at, what's the place on New Street? Davio's.
Oh, there you go.
Never been there, but it's been on my bucket list for quite a few years.
All right, Jimmy Douglas.
Lobster Land, seafood risotto, hands down.
Wow. Gappa.
Boy.
No hesitation.
Wow. Back to the cabaret.
Yeah. you can't use
the breakfast. Oh, man. Hey,
best slice in town.
Dog and fries.
I don't know. Boy, that's a tough one. I don't know what my favorite is. The tuna from Tono, maybe. I don't know.
Tuna from Tono. All right.
Yep.
Good pick. Good pick, Mike.
No kidding.
Stevie.
I'd say probably maybe the Capitol Grill, filet mignon, some oysters on the side.
There you go.
Mm.
Jesus.
Lots of oysters.
That's only an $80 steak.
$6 oysters, why not?
Ray.
I got to go seafood marinara from the Blue Marlin with a tall glass of red wine.
Well, I don't know. If they wouldn't be able to give you one because they're closed now, right?
Yeah.
I heard they might be reopening.
Oh, that's a little insider tip right there. Nice.
That's one of my favorite restaurants right there.
Good spot. Good spot. Donnie, what do you got?
Well, one of my favorite places to eat and go there quite often before the pandemic, obviously. But Seaport Grill and a Fisherman's Platter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. All right. The last question I'm going to ask all of you guys is from Nicole Schraft. What is your best high school hockey-related memory? Barry.
Joey, I was hoping you were going to ask this question, and I'm going to try to be as quick as possible. We're in the locker room before the game. Winthrop Osagas is in the house. We got the doors cranking in the locker room. Coach Riles tells us to shut it down. He gives us his talk. He gives us the go. We exit the locker room doors. We bang a left. We go down the hallway towards the Zamboni. We're getting ready to take the ice. Zamboni comes off the ice. The rink workers clear the snow from the Zamboni, roll out the rubber carpet. That siren from the rink, woo, right? It's screaming. The stands are pounded, screaming. There's electricity everywhere. Sorry, I'm getting animated, I know. And we take the ice. We take the ice. And you do a lap. You do a half rank lap, two or three laps. You're jacked up. You're going full speed. You're doing sprints. And it was just electric. I've never felt any excitement like that in my life. And the comments are going to light me up about that statement. But it just that atmosphere of taking the ice with a full house and the energy and the excitement and the anticipation getting ready to drop the puck, one of my best and most fond memories of all time.
That's awesome. Jimmy, how about you?
Yeah, I got to follow up with Barry. I mean, there's no other way to explain it. It's just the experience of stepping onto that ice. And again, I keep referring back to the Winthrop game in 1978 when they were defending state champs and we came out and beat them New Year's Eve day 5-0. It was just, the place was electric. And like I say, it's up until that point, that was the biggest crowd that was ever in the O'Malley rink. They were three rows deep all the way around the glass. They had stands on the other side beside the benches. Those stands right. were full. And it was just incredible. The place was electric. And that's one of my greatest memories.
All right, Gappa, you're up.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, just you know what?
You say it?
I always think back. I couldn't skate for shit. Everybody knew it. Riles knew it. But every time there was some type of ice to be taken, someone got hurt. Someone missed the shift or was missing it. Some reason we had eye contact and I got all the ice. It was a good feeling. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
How about when they dressed you up like the fisherman?
Oh, Jesus. Well, that was Paul. I think Donnie yelled at him and me for about a month. But
can you tell me?
Remember I was throwing the pucks into the crowd at O'Malley, dressed as a fisherman. You
know? Yeah, they were throwing them back.
They were throwing them back. Get him off the ice. Not one of the better memories. But no, you know, just the feeling of overachieving with the boys that I grew up with and stuff is just, you know, memory alone. I've been playing with Cheesy since I was 5 or 6. All these guys, you know, we all played all those years. And that was the culmination for me. I knew I wasn't going anywhere. I was lucky to play D1 once in a while. But, that's it. Just
hey, yeah. Yeah, you're a hell of a sentiment. Never lost a face-off.
Yep. That's right.
God knows I had to have something, right?
Stevie, what was your greatest hockey related memory?
I mean, I have to echo what Barry and Jimmy said. I mean, those guys are spot on right there with coming out and playing in front of the best fans in the whole conference, you know, packing the house. It was unbelievable. But I'll kind of think about the other thing I was thinking about is my sophomore year, the playoffs up in Lynn Arena. Those two back-to-back games against Winthrop and Danvers were unbelievable. They were electric, and two of the best games I've ever played in. Those two back-to-back games, and we were underdogs and beat those guys. I think Winthrop, I think we beat them. We lost the first half of the season, the first game. The second half, we beat them. And then we beat them twice in a week, I think. And they were a good team. And then we went up against Danvers, who beat us twice in the regular season. And we ended up beating them for the title. And that was unbelievable. That was electric. So those are the two memories that I can think of, among others.
How about you, Ray?
Joe, I can tell you my favorite memory. I got it right here in front of me. Thursday, February 19th, 1981, we played Danvers in Lynn Arena and upset them. They had beaten us 4-0 and 4-1 during the season, and basically no one gave us a chance to beat them at all. And we pulled off a huge upset. Wow. And I'll tell you, that's my favorite upset. Favorite memory of all time right there.
How big of a boost was it? Was that like the backing from the city, like the fans for you guys? Like, did you guys feel like you were a team of destiny? Like, did you like because I just there was something so special about those games. Like, it's from a, I mean, I'm just a fan. I mean, it's just a kid as a middle school fan, but like that, I just can't imagine what it must have been like for you guys.
To go to a rink, you know, away from a Maley rink and see 1,000, 2,000 fans from Chester, it was unbelievable. Yeah. It really was. Like on a Wednesday night in January when it's, you know, 20 degrees out and see that many fans show up to watch us play, it was just unbelievable.
And the thing I recollect the most is, you know, as a team, we had kids on the team from East Gloucester, West Gloucester, Lanesville, in the inner city, if you will, okay? And then you go up to the rink on a Saturday night, and all of our buddies were in the stands. It was almost like a melting pot of people. The kids from all over the city would congregate at one end of the rink. And for that one night, everybody was friends, cheering us on. It was an unbelievable memory.
Absolutely. Donnie, we're going to put you on next. Eddie Currier has a question.
I see it.
Tell you about playing.
Where is it?
I put it right on the screen for you.
It's doing in the garden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when this was my junior year, we played Needham in Boston Garden. We were in the quarterfinals of the state tournament. They were all everything, and they had this guy, Robbie Futurik. Outstanding player. European born, I'm not sure quite where he was from, but he could do everything. And they had a team full of studs. They had a great goaltender. They ended up beating us 2-1. I think Futurik had two assists. I don't think he scored, but he may have. But we had a good team, and the place was. Tell you the truth, I couldn't even remember how many people were there. When I played the game, it was, where's the puck? What's my job? What am I supposed to do? And I played with Gene Barrett and Dana Knowlton. And, you know, we had a pretty good line, and they split us up for that game and, you know, to try to keep up with Needham's strengths, but put us back together in the third period, and we had a lot of chances, but we just couldn't get that tying one. Donnie Lowe, Billy Brown on defense. You know, we had quite a team. But you ask about those memories, and I remember that Danvers game, and that was just after the wasn't that just after USA won the
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And and the people were chanting the USA. Well, we were up in, we're up in Lynn Arena, and people were chanting GHS, GHS.
Yeah. I remember that.
It was bouncing off the walls. It was just going crazy. And before the game, like I said, we had those meetings at my house. Well, I had a little truck at the time, a little Dodge Dakota. We put about six or eight guys in the back of it, and we were riding up and down Main Street playing Bruce Springsteen soundtrack in my car, just getting ourselves pumped up for the game. And that was quite the scene, I guess. Another memory is kind of funny is I think it was that year that we were tied for champs with Saugus for league champs in the Northeast Conference. And Christy Serino and I were picked as the coaches to coach the All-Star game. We played against the Cape Ann League at that time. So we're in the locker room getting the kids are getting dressed, and we're standing there, and all of a sudden Mike Ruggioni comes in and he gives the kids a pep talk. So I think, I don't know if Cheesy was there and Pete Hickey and probably Maddie or whatever. And so he does his thing and he walks out, and Pete Hickey looks over. He says, "Who was that joker?"
That's great.
Oh, my God, it was classic, I'll tell you. "Who was that joker?" He says,
"Oh, heck."
That's awesome. That is great.
Johnny, I recall your speech before the Danvers game. And you kind of stole some lines from Herb Brooks, if you remember.
No.
Basically saying they're bigger than us, they're faster than us, they're better than us, and they beat us twice during the year. And they'll beat us 99 out of 100 times, but not tonight.
Johnny, did you plagiarize that?
I don't know, but sounds like me, I guess.
That's great. All right, we're going to do
Hey, Joe.
Did anybody get that second question, Jimmy?
No, I haven't seen it come up yet.
All right, ask it one more time. Go ahead and ask it right now.
Who scored the 1,000th goal for Gloucester High School hockey history?
All right.
1,000th goal, 1974.
1974. Okay. So if you share the podcast, we have two, and you type shared in the notes on Facebook, you can win a dash cam, brand new, never used dash cam, or a Tom Brady puzzle. And
is that a Tampa Bay puzzle or a Patriots?
No. No, it's a Patriots. Oh, who do you guys got? Who do you guys got in the game Sunday?
We're putting money on it.
So right now the spread is the Bucks are getting 3 points. So do it with the spread. Who do you got? Barry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Tom all the way. But I don't like the points. On the money, I'll take the Chiefs.
Jimmy, what do you got?
Mahomes looks unstoppable.
I would agree. How about you, Gappa?
I got the Bucks.
You got the Bucks plus three.
Yeah, Steve? The Chiefs are they're missing two tackles right now. So who the hell knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. Steve?
It's a tough call. I think I got to go with the Chiefs. He doesn't make any mistakes. There's no turnovers. I think they get a chance, but I got to go with the Chiefs. I don't want the Chiefs to win, but that's who I think is going to win.
I'm in the same exact camp as you. I think the Chiefs have so many weapons. I want Brady to win, but I think the Chiefs are going to win. Ray, what do you got?
Same thing, Chiefs. Too much speed.
Too much speed. Yeah, Hill and
Kelsey.
The tight end, they're just freakish. They're just too talented. The defense, there's not enough manpower to cover to cover the field. Donnie, you got an opinion on this?
That's I'm going right along with you guys. I think it comes down to the Chiefs' offense against the Bucks' defense. And if the Bucks can hold them to under 20 points, the Bucks have a good chance. You know, I think Brady will get him some points, but it's going to be awful tough to hold down the Chiefs.
Do you guys remember that game? Was it last year that I think it was? I don't know if it was a playoff game, but like the Chiefs were down by like 20 points and or something like that, and might have been against Buffalo. I'm not sure. And they just like rattled and Mahomes. It's just like methodical. They just it was all right. So I'm gonna ask Pat Dalpiaz to let me know how many people shared the podcast. We're gonna do the drawing right now.
Hey Joe.
Yes, sir.
Can I add something before you do that?
100%. Go ahead.
I found a program from 1982.
Yep.
All of Division I, Eastern Mass. So actually, the whole state. Division I hockey in 1982. Here's the top 15 scorers at the time, and I'm sure you guys will recognize some names. At the top, John Tiano, Winthrop. Mike Vino, Stoneham, Chuck Sullivan. Remember that name, Donnie?
Winthrop.
Tiano, Sullivan. How about this name? You'll probably recognize it from the Atlanta, Georgia. Tommy Glavin, Billerica High School.
Oh, yeah.
You guys know that?
Yeah. Wow.
Huge baseball player. Johnny Cotta, Boston Bruins.
Wilbur Madison.
What's that?
From Woburn, Mass.
Woburn, Mass.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bob Sweeney, Boston Bruins. Let's see. Bob Jaworski, Tiano. Louis Finocchiaro, Saugus. I believe he played juniors in Canada. Right? Mm-hmm. Alan Borbo, back in Boxborough.
Olympic player.
Went on to 84 or 88 Olympic team, one or the other.
Yep.
How about this name? Kevin Stevens, Silver Lake High School. Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah,
that's nuts.
I mean, there was some serious talent in Division I back then, you know. And there was no Super 8 high school. I mean, Super 8 tournaments. It was all Division I. Yep.
Barrasso, Tommy Barrasso, too.
Tommy Barrasso. Yep. It's pretty impressive.
That is very impressive. All right, where am I at here? I got to just trying to find me. Oh, here we go. All right, I'm gonna do the drawing right now for the two prizes. Just bear with me for 1 second, guys. All right, here it is, the random generator. There was 14 people that shared the podcast. They entered random generator. Number five, Pat, tell me who was number five. And for the second prize, number 13. Those are the two winners. The first person.
Bloody.
Oh, so Ed Currier, you, Ed Currier, have a pick between the Tom Brady and the dash cam. Type in which one you'd rather have because you have the first choice. And if the other person, and Barry Sousa is the second winner. So whoever responds first gets the first pick.
Bubble boy.
So there you go. Guys,
is there anything really glammy?
Any other memories that you guys would like to share?
You know, Joe, so first of all, thanks for the surprise guest with Riles here.
It's just nice to hang out with a bunch of legends.
Well, first of all, thank you for Riles for not beating the shit out of us about this Legends tag, right? But all of us played first under Donnie and then with Donnie or against Donnie. And Riles, you're the best.
Thanks, Barry.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yep.
Second. And to Paul, too. God rest his soul.
Yes.
God bless Paul.
This was a lot of fun, and it lived. I've been a wreck all week, like because I've never done a podcast where so many people stop me on the street, like anticipating this. You guys, the legendary teams that you guys were on, and the joy that you brought to this town, has been unmatched, in my opinion, since, before, or after. And thank you guys so much for joining us. If there's anything that you guys want to add in closing, have at it right now. Joanne Wood asked, who got the 1,000 goals?
I happen to have a sneak preview on the answer, but I do believe it's...
his last name was Douglas, and it wasn't me.
Stevie Douglas.
Stevie Douglas. Oh, there you go.
There you go.
That's it.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is a great time. I really appreciate you coming on.
Joey.
Have a good night, everybody.
Joey, thank you very much.
Good job. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.